welcome the CEO of Kimberly-Clark Logistics Center.
Good morning. My name is Brooks Wood. I am the CEO of Kimberly-Clark. Today, we will be providing supplies in business form to our...
Welcome to Voices from the Valley, a podcast of the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley Region. I'm Amy Spreeman, and you are hearing the sounds of fourth graders from Janet Berry Elementary School right here in Appleton. Now, this is not your typical field trip. These students are picturing themselves all grown up and what it might look like to work in a career they would love. Even though they're only 9 or 10 years old, the dreams are starting to take shape.
Hi, my name's Matthias, and I really love being a carpenter. It's really fun. I get to measure a whole lot of things. Someday, I hope to build a house and a school.
And what company are you working with?
I'm working with Bolt.
So, my first name is Roland, and today, I'm the mayor of Bizztown, and I'm kind of going around and, right now, I'm taking the records of every business, and then earlier I was just doing the town hall meeting, and then after, later I'll have my lunch break.
Does it make you kind of think about some of the jobs you'd like to do someday, or maybe even mayor? What would you think?
Yeah, because I get to learn about all these jobs here, and then I'll know what would happen if I grew up and I did that job, too.
Where can dreams like this begin to bud? Well, I'm here at the Junior Achievement of Wisconsin facility in Appleton, where these youngsters are learning about literacy, work readiness, and entrepreneurship.
My name is Kaya Johnson, and I'm a fourth grade teacher at Janet Berry Elementary School in Appleton. And today our students are here to learn about business in the real life, just to get to look forward to the future and seeing how they can apply themselves to be citizens in our community.
I'm Mrs. Belkamp. I also teach fourth grade. For my students, I think one of the most important things was that they're learning that their parents have to work for the money that they get, and that there's a lot of value in that they can't just spend money that they don't have or earn.
And with me right now is Matt Yedis and Mary Beth Tomsik. Welcome. And why don't we have you both introduce yourselves and tell us your role here with Junior Achievement of Wisconsin.
Well, thank you. And first, let me say thank you for having us on the podcast.
Absolutely.
This is great. My name is Matt Yedis, and I'm the Director of Development for Junior Achievement in Northeast Wisconsin. And my role is to oversee all of our fundraising, development, and events for Junior Achievement, as well as secure funding for this Capstone Center that we're in Appleton.
Yes, hello, and my name is Mary Beth Tomsik, and I'm the Development Coordinator for Junior Achievement of Northeast Wisconsin. My role is primarily focused on events for our region, JA's signature educational events, as well as a couple fundraising events, and they all are nice complements to our traditional JA programming. I also support other fundraising, operational, and social media efforts to increase awareness and funding for the region.
Well, I'm glad you invited us in today. Why don't we start with you, Matt? Paint a picture for our listeners of what we're seeing here. This is not just an office building. You've actually constructed what looks like a town square.
Yes, we are very proud of our Community First Career Exploration and Financial Literacy Center, located right here on the Fox Valley Tech Campus in Appleton. As you mentioned, we've constructed a town square. It's full of storefronts featuring well-known companies in Northeast Wisconsin. Those sponsorships then help us fund our programming, but it's also a great way for those companies to engage a future workforce and really understand all the opportunities available in their industry. Our goal here is always to promote all industries and educational pathways, and that's to open up kids to the variety of options that they have for their future. Specifically here at the facility, we host two in-person educational experiences, JA Bizztown and JA Finance Park.
Yes. I hear people say junior achievement, you know, in their minds, they conjure up images of what JA used to be a few decades ago when they were in school. So tell us about junior achievement. What is it like today? How has it evolved over the years?
Yeah, and that's a great point. We hear that a lot. Junior Achievement has been around for over 100 years. It's well established in Northeast Wisconsin. However, to your point, I think many people still associate it with their experience back in school and that traditional in-classroom program led by a volunteer. So that is still our core focus of JA, but as we just alluded to with our facility here in Appleton, we now do so much more. Our three pillars remain the same. We're focused on financial literacy, work readiness, and entrepreneurship. But we've branched out from our in-classroom programming to focus on those in other ways. So outside of that traditional classroom programming and the two educational in-person experiences we offer here at our center, we also hold several student competition events throughout the year. Mary Beth leads those efforts, as she mentioned. I'll let her tell you more about them.
Yes. So from an event standpoint, we have four main events for junior achievement right here in the Winnebago area of Northeast Wisconsin. And Amy, I just want to back up for a minute because we know that in today's world, teens are worrying about money more than ever.
Yeah.
There was a recent survey that said that 78% are currently stressed out about money because they're probably seeing it at home. And then of those 78%, 73% say they would likely take a course on money management if given the opportunity. Yeah. So Junior Achievement really wants to support efforts that are happening in the school. Our events, the first one I'll talk about just in some general terms, we host an event called Young Entrepreneur Live, and this is a Shark Tank style event. It is a pitch contest where we have kids come right here to the center. It's held in January every year. It is a wonderful event. It's open to students grades 5th through 12th. They have to have owned their business for at least 1 year. And they come here and they pitch their ideas, their business, their numbers. They pitch that in front of a live panel of judges. And then from that, there is a winner that's chosen. They get a cash prize and then they go on to compete at the state level. So that's our first one of the year, which is a lot of fun, very inspiring. It's an intimate event. Again, there's four finalists that are able to really show off their talents. The next one in our quarter two, which usually falls in March, it's called the Titan Business Challenge. And again, this is a high school event. This is experiential learning where students in high school get to run a business and they're on teams of two. It's all done online. They make decisions about operations, marketing, research, social development, things like that. So they make these decisions. They play, there's, I believe, eight quarters. And then the team with the most number of points at the end of that event, it takes place over the course of a day. They actually win scholarship money. And they get to use that in their future. And then they advance to a statewide competition in May. So again, really hands-on, minds-on learning, very experiential. The high school students really get into it. The third one is always usually around the May timeframe. It's called our Trivia Challenge, and this is strictly a fundraising event. It's for adults. It takes place at an off-site venue. But we play trivia on our phone. We have some food and raffle and raffle baskets, silent auction, things like that. That's all for raising money for Junior Achievement. And you can find more information on our website about that event coming up. And then lastly, in November, we are going to be trying a new event for our region. It's called Stock Market Challenge. It's the JA Stock Market Challenge, where this is an investment-focused event. High school students, once again, get to invest a simulated portfolio, $250,000, and they play the stock market. So they buy and sell stocks, they trade. It is not using any computers. They actually have to look at reports and numbers, and a ticker symbol runs in front of the classroom. So it's really a neat way for them to learn about the stock market and how investing and trading works.
These programs are all incredible, and I have a feeling that because many of them are hands-on and interactive here, that they're going to remember this for the rest of their lives.
Exactly. That's really the goal, is hands-on, minds-on, engaging the students into these types of simulations and games and learning the concepts from a different angle.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, we are raising funds. So all of these events, we're looking for company sponsorships, we're looking for partners, we're looking for donations. So it's really a two-folded effort. There's the educational side, but then there's also the fundraising side. So I oversee that, and it's a lot of fun, and we really enjoy, promoting those and then executing those as well.
It's so exciting to see this. And Matt, I want to ask you, why are programs like these even needed? And what issues or challenges is Junior Achievement now able to address in our current culture?
Yeah, I think Mary Beth and I could probably talk for hours about this specific topic because we're very passionate about it. But I'll zero in on some key community issues that JA programming addresses. As Mary Beth already alluded to, number one is going to be financial literacy.
Yeah.
many people lack that basic financial literacy skill, and that can lead to financial instability and debt later in life. JA teaches those students about budgeting, saving, investing, and the importance of making those informed financial decisions.
Well, speaking of financial literacy, as we record this, Matt, we happen to be in April, Financial Literacy Month every year, and you've got some fantastic resources to help people understand a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point, being Financial Literacy Month. We're very passionate about that topic. But we have a lot of great resources. If anyone would like to read a little bit more, we'll have those in the portion by this podcast. Otherwise, all of the information will also be on our website, with his northeastwisconsin.ja.org, to read up a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and we'll have, again, links on our show notes today, so we'll have that information for you at the end here. Let's talk about what else you are working on as far as why these programs are so needed.
Yes. So we covered financial literacy. I'd say number two is workforce readiness. Mm-hmm. High youth unemployment and underemployment are common community problems. JA prepares those students for the workforce by teaching them essential employability skills such as teamwork, communication, problem solving, and critical thinking. Mm-hmm. Number three is entrepreneurship education. Mary Beth kind of covered one of our events that covers that in YE Live. But we really encourage and support the development of young entrepreneurs. Teach students about business concepts, including business planning, marketing, financial management, and really helps address the challenge of economic stagnation in our community. And lastly, I'll mention achievement gap. There are disparities in educational outcomes and opportunities for young people, as we all know. JA helps bridge the gap by providing experiential learning opportunities to students in various socioeconomic backgrounds, which is very important.
Yeah, it is. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about your impact here, not only in the Fox Valley, but around the bigger Northeast Wisconsin region?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we covered, our region here is specific to the Northeast Wisconsin. I like to say that kind of starts as south as Fond du Lac and goes all the way up through Door County. So last year, we served over 21,730 kids in Northeast Wisconsin. Very proud of that. It's a great number. This year, our goal is to serve 23,500 kids. So as you can see, it's almost a 2,000 jump there, which is great. Around 3,500 of those kids will be coming to the Capstone Center that we mentioned for either JA BizTown or JA Finance Park. To achieve those numbers, we rely on our amazing volunteers for that in-classroom programming. They come in and lead those lessons, as well as all of our events and the Capstone programming. We rely heavily on our volunteers, and we have an excellent volunteer base here that we're very proud of and happy to have. Last year, as far as numbers, we had around 395 volunteers for classroom programming.
Oh, yes.
And then about another 640 specific to our Capstone programming.
Very important. In addition to volunteers, I want to touch on what it takes financially to serve the way you are and how important it is to have that support from the communities. And in fact, I know that we have many funds within the Community Foundation where people have given grants along with support from our Community Vision Fund.
Yeah, absolutely. What most people don't know is that we offer in-classroom programming free to the school districts. Mm-hmm. So to fund our programming, we do rely heavily on support from companies, organizations, partners, and foundations, like you mentioned, our great partnership with the Community Foundation, all in Northeast Wisconsin. So the great news is that we continue to have strong growth in our programming numbers year over year. As I just mentioned with those numbers, strong growth. We have a large need for our programming in Northeast Wisconsin. The flip side of that is, of course, that does add to our budget. If anyone listening would like to learn about getting involved from a financial standpoint with Junior Achievement, please contact me. You can also visit our website, as I mentioned before, northeastwisconsin.ja.org, and kind of look at all of our opportunities and ways for us to partner together.
Well, I just really appreciate what you're doing here today. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Up next, there is so much more to talk about and explore here. We're going to hear more about the educational programs like Capstone that Matt and Mary Beth mentioned. We will be right back.
What matters most to you and why? At the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley Region, we know you care about the causes and issues that impact your life and the lives of your neighbors. Maybe it's education or affordable housing or our great outdoors. There are so many ways you can impact lives and make the Fox Valley an even better place to live for all. Let us know what matters to you. Learn more at cffoxvalley.org/matters. Together, we flourish.
The Community Foundation for the Fox Valley Region works to strengthen our community today and for generations to come by helping people, businesses, and organizations make a difference in the lives of all. Get in the loop. Stay informed about what's happening in the Fox Valley through the Community Foundation. Our blog shares stories of impact about the arts, education, community improvement, healthcare, human services, and the environment. Sign up at cffoxvalley.org/loop. See how giving matters.
And my job here today is to, like, fill out payrolls, paychecks. I basically run a business, so I have a lot on my plate most of the time. And I have to deliver all the stuff to all the people, so I am the big boss. And that is basically what I do.
Do you like being the boss?
I like being a boss, but I don't want to be a bossy boss. No one ever likes a really bossy boss.
What kind of boss do you think you'd like to be? What would you be, say, the
I
perfect
be
boss?
I want to be, like, a kind, considerate, yet get-done-the-stuff boss. I am also the person who gives all the speeches for my company, and I'm liking this town so far.
In a world of evolving AI and a shift in our economy and job markets in ways we've never imagined, what does it take to prepare today's youth for the future? Well, we are back at the Community First Career Exploration and Financial Literacy Center talking with Junior Achievement of Wisconsin's Jill Hahnemann and Kelly Holtmeyer. Why don't we introduce ourselves? We've got three women here on the podcast in this segment, so we want to differentiate our voices here. Jill, why don't we start with you? Introduce yourself.
Thank you, Amy. I'm Jill Hahnemann. I'm the capstone manager here at Junior Achievement of Northeast Wisconsin.
And Kelly, introduce yourself. Tell us what you do here.
Yeah, absolutely. Kelly Holtmeyer. I am the senior education manager, work with the education manager team and education group overall to make sure we have programming throughout the region.
Excellent. Thank you both for joining us on the podcast. We're going to start with you, Jill, and talk a little bit about the programs you oversee. What are Junior Achievement capstone programs all about?
There are two capstone programs that define our junior achievement space here. One is the JA BizTown. That is a program that we run for fourth and sixth graders. That's the program that you're going to see here today. And we also have a program for students in eighth to 12th grade, and that is called JA Finance Park.
They're so cool to see in person. I mean, you've got storefronts here, businesses here, and the kids are just so excited to be here.
It's fun for sure.
Yes. Well, let's start with JA BizTown. What can you tell us about the actual program and what goes into it?
So like I said, this is a program for students in grades 4th through 6th grade. They do 13 lessons in the classroom to prepare for their visit with us. They start with general concepts about what makes a community functioning, what is the circular flow of an economy, how are businesses successful, and then they move through the curriculum to doing personal interest inventories and really start to move into that career exploration piece. They eventually apply for a position and accept a job here at JA BizTown. When they're ready, they get on the bus and they come to us and they get off the bus ready to run the town. They have already elected a mayor, and they run the town for the day with the help of at least 12 community volunteers. They produce in the morning and consume in the afternoon using three different methods of payment while working as a team to pay off a small business loan and also managing their own time and their individual finances. It's a great day of learning and really gives them that hands-on mind opportunity to experience a little taste of the real world.
What kind of feedback do you get from the students and the teachers?
Oh my goodness. Well, this morning the kids got off the bus and most of the feedback was, whoa, this is so cool. This is like Disneyland. They get really excited just to see the space.
That's what I said the first time time I saw it. I walked in here at a community foundation event we had here and just said, wow, this is so cool. So yeah, yes. I can understand that excitement.
That's sort of the first impression. And then as the day goes on, we hear more feedback like, wow, this is really hard. I'm so busy. Being a CEO is hard. All I do is sign my name. So there's a lot of learning that happens. And especially when things don't go exactly right, that's when I really see the learning happening and kids having to work through different challenges they face during the day and really put their patience and their creativity to the task as they problem solve some of the things that come up during the day.
Oh, that's great. All right. So JA Finance Park is something a little bit different. What is that?
So similar to JA BizTown, JA Finance Park is a program that is sort of the culmination of their efforts back at school. So they also do lessons in the classroom to prepare for their day. But this is a program that deals primarily with personal finance. So students go through the curriculum, they show up for the day, and they also have hands-on minds on learning. But this program is geared more strictly towards personal finance and budgeting. Students are given a tablet, they log in, and it gives them a persona for the day. So it might say, Amy, you're a computer engineer and you make $75,000 a year. You have to live with that job scenario, salary, a credit score, and a life scenario. Some of our students find themselves instant parents and they have up to two children in their scenario. They go around the center with the help of a volunteer researching different budget categories, and then they have to return to their home storefront, create a budget, and shop and live within their means for the day.
That's incredible, and a lesson that I know many parents wish that they had had, when their kids were younger or themselves.
That's why I took this job. I wished I had that when I was younger. I graduated high school and had no idea how to manage my finances, and for a long time, my credit score showed it. So I was able to, turn that around. I would love for the students that we serve not to have to go through that. So a successful day at JA Finance Park means that a student would have budgeted in every category and shopped, living within their means and saving at least 10% of their income.
Wow. And all of this happens during the school year for the students that you serve here in the Fox Valley and beyond. What happens here in the summertime? What do you do with this wonderful facility that you have?
Well, we do a little bit of downtime, which we need after day in and day out of kids, which we love. We also host a JA BizTown summer camp. So we have a one-week camp in June and a one-week camp in July. We also host several area boys and girls clubs that come in. And so we're not exactly putting our feet up all summer long, but it's a little bit of a reprieve from a busy school year. The other thing that we are doing, of course, is getting ready for the next school year. So that's the time when we'd be making improvements to our programming and just gearing up for another busy year.
Oh, that's fantastic. And how can schools get involved with your programming?
That is actually a really good question. Some of our schools come to us because a teacher participated with a different school and now they want to bring their current school to us. Sometimes a school administrator hears about it. Sometimes it's a parent and they heard about our programming and they mention it to a teacher. And sometimes it's staff outreach where we'll reach out to areas that we're currently not serving and introduce our programming to them.
Well, we hope this podcast helps with that word of mouth. And I do want to ask one more question. I can see all the partners that have made the Capstone Center happen, and that's truly a community-wide initiative. How do people get involved either as a volunteer or a corporate partner?
That is another really good question, Amy. So anybody who's interested in volunteering or getting involved at any level can go to our website, and that has all of our contact information. We are always looking for people to partner up with, whether it's in the role of a volunteer or someone who might like to get involved to support the programming from a financial standpoint.
Excellent. Well, I want to shift gears a little bit. Kelly is here too with us. We just heard her introduce herself. And Kelly, I want to talk a little bit about the traditional programming that you have here for classroom programming. Can you tell our listeners what this means?
Yeah, absolutely, Amy. Thank you. Our traditional programming really spans grades kindergarten through high school. And we have specific programs for each year, kindergarten through fifth grade. So those are programs that the instructors select based on what aligns with the curriculum that is being covered in that particular year, in that particular grade. And we also have programming that is more geared towards those older students, towards middle and high school students. And again, selected based on the curriculum in a particular, maybe a social studies class or a leadership class, those kinds of things that align with the curriculum that the teachers are already leading. But the programming itself really involves going into the classroom and delivering junior achievement curriculum. And that time frame is typically 30 to 45 minutes per session. And those sessions are 5 to 6 weeks in length.
So you come to the schools. That's fantastic. How would one go about scheduling these programs?
Yeah, so the scheduling really typically starts in with the teacher. The teachers are typically the ones reaching out with interest for the curriculum. But we also get requests from parents. We get requests from other people involved in the schools that are familiar with JA and say, boy, that would be really great to bring to this particular classroom or to this particular group of students. We get requests from parents on occasion, and certainly from people who have had junior achievement in their formative years. As they've come through, they're familiar with it, and they say, boy, I would love to have, you know, my child, my niece, my nephew, other people that I know have this programming as well.
And you need volunteers, of course, to make this happen.
We do. We do. We do need volunteers. It's really the opportunity to bring the JA curriculum to life. So the volunteer does not need to create their own information to share. It's really based on junior achievement curriculum. What the volunteers do share in addition with that curriculum is their own personal experience. And that really adds that extra layer of importance and information to the classroom. And boy, our students, we find, really love having a guest speaker in the classroom.
I can imagine. And this sounds like something really perfect for retirees, just to share a little bit about what they've done in their lives and what they've learned and what's new.
Yes, absolutely. We do have a number of retirees that volunteer with us, but you know, really our volunteers come from all walks of life. So we have high school students that we've trained to be volunteers for younger grades. We've have professionals in all different walks of life. Mm-hmm. So people in healthcare, people in finance, people who are stay-at-home parents. We have just the whole gamut, folks in the military and, you know, certainly retirees that volunteer with us. So it's really about sharing that personal experience that you have as an adult and that connection that you can make with the students in the classroom.
Well, we're hoping that people who are listening to this podcast might get the volunteer bug and say, you know what, I've got some things to share with students. How can they get involved and what would their day look like?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. So volunteering typically would take place during the school day. And so for most schools, that's going to be between 8 and 3. Many of our volunteers will do their volunteering during their before work time or even during a lunch period. But we also have a number of employers that will support, you know, volunteering during the work day. So we do our best to match those volunteer hours of availability with the requests that are coming in from the instructors. So as you might imagine, in our elementary school programs, the day has a little more flexibility. And so therefore, the time of that volunteering can have a bit more flexibility, whereas once they get into middle and high school, there are set periods of time when those mm-hmm. students are meeting, and so that has a little more specific time frame in terms of those volunteer hours. But we really work with volunteers to match that time frame with, you know, what their availability is.
That is excellent. We're going to make sure that we have all the links to where you are on your website, and so that if somebody did want to volunteer, that they can go ahead and get involved. Kelly and Jill, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Oh, we really appreciate it. We're going to wrap this up in just a moment after a quick break.
At the Community Foundation, we can keep your gift and your fund anonymous so you can continue to support causes that matter to you and keep our community flourishing well into the future. The Greater Fox Cities Habitat for Humanity Rock the Block recently received a $300,000 anonymous grant from a fund within our Chilton affiliate, making a huge difference for the community and local homeowners. You too can join this effort of quiet generosity that helps our community thrive by setting up a fund that doesn't reveal your identity and allows us to assist you with your charitable wishes. Contact the Community Foundation at cffoxvalley.org.
Join the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley region in making our community a better place for all. You may have come to a point in your life where you feel called to give back. You do so for many reasons, all very personal. What motivates you? Perhaps you feel strongly about a cause or an organization touched your life or the life of a loved one. Maybe you want to create a legacy and set an example that inspires others to give. Or perhaps giving is a way to re-engage your family members and pass along values to younger generations. For the many different motivations for giving, there are also many ways to give. The key to having a rewarding experience is finding the best fit for your charitable goals, financial goals, and personal preferences. We'll work with you and your tax, legal, or financial planning advisor to determine the best plan for your situation and goals. Learn more at cffoxvalley.org.
That's going to wrap up this podcast episode. A big thank you to our guests from Junior Achievement of Wisconsin for the vital work they do in shaping the futures of our next generation and making a huge impact. We are proud to support their programs along with our generous donors who are making a big difference. Our show notes today are packed with links and resources. If you'd like to check those out, just go to cffoxvalley.org/podcasts. And while you're there, be sure to listen to our other episodes and subscribe to listen on your favorite podcast platform. I'm Amy Spreeman. Thanks for listening to Voices from the Valley, a podcast of the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley Region.